Well, very thankful this morning for each one that has gathered in to worship the Lord on this Father's Day. I know that there are a number that are gone, but I trust that the Lord will bless each one of you today. I want to acknowledge all of the fathers this morning. It is a day in our country that has been especially set aside to honor fathers. I want to thank all of the fathers for your care and your provision and for your love. I want to thank you for all of the sacrifices that you have made for the benefit of your wife and children. And in our society, there is very little honor and respect being given to fathers. There are many that are actually actively trying to tear down the role of men in society. But God made male and female, and both are so important and needful to be respected as God made them. But God gave men and fathers and husbands a special place to fill in society and in the home that cannot be adequately filled by anyone else. And we want to honor and recognize fathers and men who are still filling their godly places. The message this morning is a little different than sometimes. The Lord inspired me to preach a message on the subject of a father's heart. And I can speak on the subject biblically, but also as a man and as a son and as a husband and as a father myself. There are many different perspectives in life, and our paradigms are often shaped by our DNA, by our raising, by our education, and by our experiences. And it helps sometimes to understand people better when we know where they're coming from. And my prayer is that this discourse today will be a blessing to you in better understanding your husband, your father. And I speak to you about a husband and a father's heart from a godly perspective. And while I touch on the role of a husband and father, I really would like us, by the help of the Lord, to consider his heart, the heart behind the role that he is playing in our lives. I'd like to begin in the book of Joshua in the 24th chapter, in the 15th verse, when Joshua had let all the children of Israel know that they needed to make a decision. And he was giving them that choice and that right to make a decision. He was calling them to come to a place. He said, "If it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the God of the Amorites in whom land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That right there is the heart of a godly husband and a godly father. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." The goals and the decisions and the purposes for his family is going to be to serve the Lord. And I want to encourage all of the children and young people, young and old alike, and to the wives here, to understand that is the heart of your father. That is the heart of your husband if he is a godly man. And everything that he does is going to be focused around that desire, "I want my family to serve the Lord." As husbands, as fathers, we cannot force our family to serve the Lord. We cannot pressure them, but we can influence and we can make decisions that in our home, we want our home to be a godly place. We want there to be a godly atmosphere. And if we can begin to show the respect to our Father, that that is the reason why He's making the decisions that He is, and if we can honor that and respect that, life is going to be so much better in the home, and it would be so much better in the relationship between a husband and wife and between a father and the children when they recognize, that's my dad's heart. Well, as fathers and husbands, we're not perfect. We make mistakes. We're flesh and blood. We have personality. And there are times that we have to come back and say, I'm sorry. But our heart is for you to serve the Lord. Our heart is for our home to be a place that you can find the presence of Jesus Christ. It is our heart as a husband and a father to care for you, to care for those that are in our family. A husband and father has been entrusted with the care of his family. Psalms 103 verse 13 says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. And we will find that in Scripture oftentimes God uses the example as Himself as the Father. And it is because God knows the heart that He gave to earthly fathers. And so He gives an analogy as Himself as the Heavenly Father. So here in Psalms, He's saying, like a father pities his children. What He's talking about is as a father cares for his children. Like the compassion that a father has for his children. A husband or a father, rather, is not moved as a woman or as a mother is moved. But a father has a deep care and concern and compassion for his family. So we respect, and it should be respected, that heart of the father. He won't express himself. Sometimes he may express himself a little bit in a little more gruff sense. Maybe sometimes not as compassionate sounding as what mama might express herself is. But within a godly father, there is a heart of deep compassion and deep care for his family and for his children. In the book of Matthew, in the 7th chapter, and I'm going to mention a number of different verses, so if you want to turn with them often to turn to chapters, it's good. But if you want to just sit back and listen this morning, that's fine as well. But in Matthew chapter 7, in the 9th verse, He said, of what man of you is there whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? In other words, a father wants to provide for the basic needs of his family. And that is one of the primary roles that was given to a man. It's one of the primary roles that was given to a father and to a husband was to provide physically and temporally for the needs of his home. And if that's the reason Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:8, he said, but if any provide not for his own, and especially of those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. There is a dependency that a family should have in most normal circumstances. I know there are some circumstances that life brings that a mother and a wife has to be the primary care provider. And we understand there are exceptions. But I want us also to acknowledge scripturally this morning that that is the primary, one of the primary functions and roles of a father and of a husband. And the world is trying to tear down that dependency. He's trying to tear down that role that a husband fills for a wife to be self-supporting. That I don't need my husband. I don't need to be dependent on him. for the relationship in a marriage to work as it was intended by God, there is to be a dependency there. Children are to depend upon their fathers, and a father's function and his heart is to be. And it is one of the motivating factors in what a husband and a father does is, I want to provide for my family. And I believe it is very important for children and wives to recognize and honor their husband and their father as the primary provider for the temporal things in the home. That's his heart. And God gave a man that heart. I'd like to speak just briefly about the heart of a husband as it pertains to his wife. In Ephesians, in the 5th chapter, in the 22nd verse, he said, "Wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." So we find the scripture detailing here the role and a function of a husband and a wife. God told the husband, love your wives as Christ loves the church. And that should be the heart of a godly husband. That all the decisions that are made, they're not made out of self-interest. They're not made out of, this is just what I want. But it's made out of a desire and a care for the benefit of the wife. To sacrifice and to be dedicated to his wife as Christ was to the church. But I'm wanting to speak again to the heart. To the heart. Because when a wife or children resist the leadership of the home. Because see, the scripture here says that a wife is to submit herself to her husband, and her husband is the head of the wife. It placed the husband in a position and a role of leadership. And that was God-given. And it is a role that was specifically given to the husband. And when a wife or children resist that acknowledged leadership in the home, it undermines the position that God gave, but it also wounds a man. It wounds a husband. I don't want my wife to walk ahead of me. I don't want my wife to walk behind me. I want her to walk beside me. I want her to be a helpmeet as God intended. I want to be there to help her. I want to be there to be a blessing to her. But I want us to understand by the help of the Lord this morning that when a woman walks ahead of her husband, figuratively speaking, that she is undermining his role that God gave to him, and it wounds the heart of a husband to have a wife that usurps the authority and the leadership in the home. It has been a question in years gone by. I don't hear it very often anymore. But the question is, who wears the pants in the family? You see, it used to be easily understood what that meant. In today's society, not as much. But when a woman tries to assume that role of leadership, it undermines her husband's ability to lead. And in a godly home, a husband and wife following the scriptural method and the scriptural role of a husband and wife, you'll have the happiest home. You'll have the happiest relationship. It's not a relationship of bondage. It is a relationship of love and care and oneness. But there still is a defined role. And it is the heart of the husband to provide that godly leadership. Who wears the pants in the family? And if there's a question about that, it means that the man needs to step up, The husband needs to step up and the wife needs to step back if that is a question in the home. So we honor our fathers who have stepped up, and we show honor and respect to them. As children, I trust that the wives will show respect verbally, but even more so by the way that you act, by giving your husband that room to be the leader that God intended for him to be. See, I've seen many marriage problems, and used to when I was younger, I've heard it said, and I used to think as well, that most of the responsibility lies on the man. I personally don't necessarily see it that way anymore. From observation and experience of life in watching marriages, it can be either way. Because here, see, as a man loves his wife, as Christ loves the church, he elevates his wife. He doesn't put her down. He elevates her and exalts her and lifts her up. And when a husband does that, it is so much easier for a wife and for the children to show honor and respect to their husband or their father as the head of the home, and to obey him and to submit to him in everything. Well, I've also, though, observed that as a wife will submit to her husband and acknowledge her husband's leadership in every way in the marriage relationship, as she honors that and shows that deep respect for her husband, that it is so much easier for her husband to step up and love her like Christ loved the church. So where there are marriage problems, each needs to focus on their own God-given role. But it is the heart of a godly man to provide spiritual leadership in the home and to love his wife like Christ loved the church. But that job is made so much easier and so much more a blessing to the whole family when the wife acknowledges that place that God placed, put him in. One of the very important roles of a husband and as a father, and that is the heart. Consider his heart now. The heart of a father is found in 1 Thessalonians in the 2nd chapter. And we'll begin reading with the 11th verse. He said, "As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God who called you into his kingdom and glory." So here again we have an analogy. Paul was making an analogy in his writing that I've exhorted you, I have comforted you, and I have charged you as a father does his children. Yes, that is a role of a father, but it is the heart of a father. And if children can take a step back this morning and see their father's heart. You see, God, I think, placed that in, if you will allow me to say, in his DNA. He gave your father a heart. He gave him a heart to exhort you. He gave him a heart to comfort you. He gave him a heart to charge you, to give you direction and counsel. In as far as correction, Proverbs 3, verse 11 and 12, "My son, my children, my daughter, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." You see, discipline and correction from a godly father is motivated by his desire for things to be right. So when dad corrects you and he admonishes you and he charges you, He's doing that out of a motivation that he wants things to be right. He may come across a little stronger than what mom does. And I know that's not always the case, but he may come on a little bit stronger. And I want to encourage mothers to have respect for that. Know your husband's heart. He wants things to be right. So when sometimes he comes down pretty strong, don't interfere between you and the children. His heart is, I want things to be right for my children. And when he sees things going away, it is because he loves you that he corrects you. It is because he loves you that he doesn't just let you go on your way. And so the scripture says, as he chastens, don't despise it. Don't despise that chastening of the Lord. His heart is for you. He wants what's best for you. And it causes problems in a home, in a marriage, when if the father has to correct the children and he admonishes them because that's one of his roles and responsibilities in the home as a father, to charge and to rebuke and to correct as he loves and as he cares. And he feels like every time he has to deal with the son or the daughter that he's also going to have a problem with mama, because she thinks he needs to back up a little bit. Yes, there are times husbands and wives can discuss those things and talk about how to handle the children, but it should always be done in private. And a wife should never undermine the God-given authority that her husband has with her children, because children pick up very quickly when mom thinks dad's being too strong. Or when they think that dad needs to not be correcting and admonishing them because, you know, little mama hen comes rushing in to protect her children. No, a father has a heart. He has a heart for things to be right in his home. And so then a mother needs to respect that position that her husband fills. And children, if you can understand that, maybe if you don't understand everything your dad is doing or why he's doing it, if he loves the Lord, you can understand that his heart is for things to be right and to be well. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26, it says, "My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways." That was talking about God. My son, give me your heart and observe my ways. But that's the heart of a father to his sons and to his daughters, that I want you to observe my ways. And when children do not choose to honor the godly example of their father, it brings a lot of pain to his heart. We don't hear these things preached about very much. We don't hear these things talked about very much. But from a father's heart this morning, when children are rebellious or they push for their own way and don't follow after the ways, the godly ways, the good ways of their father, it brings great grief to the heart of the father. It brings great disappointment. Proverbs 13 verse 1 says, "A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke." I mentioned DNA a couple of times. It is in the DNA of a father to give instruction. God made it that way. God designed it that way. And we live in a time again where the father's role is being torn down. We don't have to listen to anybody. We can just do it our own way. But children, when you do it your own way, you're normally doing it the way of the world, and you're doing an ungodly way, and you're giving in to pressure of ungodly people. How much better today to listen to the instruction of your father that is a way of counsel and godly, will lead us to godliness. And no, that's his heart. That's his heart. A scorner heareth not rebuke. 18-year-olds When you get that age, it doesn't mean it's the end of your father's wisdom. You know, I find that when children get out of the home, sometimes it's not as open to counsel from their parents when they get older, when they get out of the home. But when they're wise, more than ever, they open up and want that counsel. And they desire that counsel, and they desire that instruction. But as a father, you learn that, you know, unless you're asked for it, a lot of times it doesn't help situations out to give unsolicited advice. And sometimes fathers do that. And do you know, when you're older, I want you to know your father's heart this morning. Don't resent the counsel if you say, well, that was unsolicited and he shouldn't be given that. It's because he has a father's heart. It's because he wants to see you successful in your family. He wants to see you successful as a husband or as a wife. He wants to see God bless you. And so if there's a need there and he offers some advice, acknowledge his heart. Acknowledge that he's not trying to maybe interfere and meddle with things that he shouldn't, but his father's heart is crying out for your success. But a lot of times your father won't say anything, and it warms his heart for you to come back to him and say, hey, Dad, what do you think? Do you have some counsel? What do you think about this here? Do you have any advice to give? Have you seen this before? Do you have any counsel for me? And that shows honor and respect to the gray hairs and to the experience of our fathers and of our grandfathers that have passed through some things that children, even when they're over 18, would be wise to come and seek counsel and advice, because there is no one that has more the interest of their children than mom and dad. And that means when you get older and you have children of your own, or you get out and you're working and you're going to school or you get a job, there is no one that has a heart more for your success than your father and your mother. That's your father's heart. And so it shows honor and respect when you reciprocate and show care and love back to them. There's a scripture that says in Proverbs 12, "Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish." Now, we don't use that word a lot, brutish, but what it means in some translations and even in the Greek, and we don't use this word a lot, but it means stupid or foolish. If you love instruction, loveth knowledge, but he that hates reproof is stupid. That's what some of the modern day translations say. What it means is it's really foolish. It's foolish if you don't open your heart up to instruction. When counsel and correction is not received to children from their parents, from their mom and their dad, I want you to know the heart of your father. It's very hurtful. And you may not always see it, but it will cause your father to be awake at night. It will cause your father to be praying so much because he wants you to be blessed as children. And the sooner you know the heart of your father, the better your relationship will be, the better relationship between husbands and wives, and the more smoothly the home will go when you know the heart of the father. There's a few other things I'd like to bring out before we close the service, bring the message to a close today. I won't take the time to read it, but in the book of Job, chapter 1, it talks about Job's children. They were out and they were partying. They were feasting. And when those days were gone, it said that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning, and he offered burnt offerings. I will read this portion, Job 1:5. "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." In other words, what the translation bears out is that maybe my sons, and they're living in an idolatrous land, it may be that they fell to not bless God in their hearts like they should have. would be a better translation. So they may have sinned, or they may have just not had a thankful of a heart as they should have. And we find Dad, we find their father out offering sacrifices and praying for them. And it says, thus did Job continually. I want the children to know today that your godly father is praying for you without ceasing. Whether you are young or whether you are old, your father is praying for you, and that is his heart, because he loves you and he cares for you. And there's another passage of scripture in 3 John 1:4, and again, John was writing, and he said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. There is no greater joy to the heart of a father than to know that his children are walking in truth. The opposite of that is true also. That is the heart of your father today. Whether you are 10 years old, whether you are 15 years old, whether you are 20 years old, or whether you are 40 years old, there is nothing that brings more joy to the heart of a godly father than to know that my son or my daughter is serving the Lord. But the reverse, I said, is true also. There is nothing that brings greater pain to the heart of a godly father than to know that his son or his daughter is not serving the Lord in truth. The profession isn't what it is. It's in how you live. And when your father sees that you are following after the things of the world, when your father sees that maybe you are not dedicated to the cause of God, when Dad sees that you're not living a holy life, and he sees you making poor decisions for eternity, there is nothing that brings greater pain. Your father would rather suffer physically. He would rather have no money. He would rather have his house burned down. He would rather many horrible things happen in life, which we wouldn't wish on anybody. But I'm saying this because I want you to know his heart. When you displease God, your father is grieving for you, because his heart is hurting, because he loves you and cares for you. Because children, you are part of your parents. You are part of their DNA. And your parents may not say much, but when they see you making decisions that aren't right, they're grieving and they're praying and they are in pain, because that is their heart. The love of a father is exemplified so well with the example of the prodigal son's father, who was there longing for his son to come home. He was there loving him. He was here looking down the road. I'm just waiting for my son to come home. That is the love of a father. We could have started with love. I chose to end with it. That is the heart of a father. It's a heart of love. It's a heart of forgiveness. No matter how much pain a son or a daughter has caused to a parent, when that parent is godly and loves the Lord, their heart is one of forgiveness and restoration and reconciliation because of their great love. I appreciate your time and attention this morning. I appreciate the fathers and the godly men and the grandfathers today. And so I want to conclude with giving the wives and the sons and the daughters of all ages a challenge. Consider the role of your husband. Consider the role that your father is filling, and remember his heart. Know his heart and treat him with the honor and the respect that is due because of that heart. May God bless all of you. Happy